Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport on Women's Finals Day of Wimbledon 2017, or at the end of Women's Finals Day 2017, a day that has seen Garbiñe Muguruza crowned champion of Wimbledon, her second Grand Slam title. It wasn't to be for Venus Williams. The fairy tale came to an end, but it seemed to be very much a fairy tale for Garbiñe Muguruza today, didn't it, David Law? And Simon Briggs
and is Simon
here as
Simon Briggs
well.
Has just hot-footed it out of the press room just to talk to us here on the Tennis Podcast. Yeah, I mean, look, you could not get two more different sets of tennis, could you, than 7-5 and an hour that Muguruza won the first set and 6-love and about, what, 20 minutes in the second set. Very, very different feel in those two sets. And really, I felt as though Venus Williams just gave everything she got in that first set and was running on empty at the end of it.
She was 5-4 down, Muguruza. She faced set points on her own serve, serving 4-5. She faced set points, saved them, and then didn't lose another game after that. Pretty extraordinary.
So what happens if the Muguruza forehand at 15-40, which clips the top of the net, is, you know, 3 inches lower and bounces back off that net cord? Do you think Venus goes on to win?
You tell us, Simon. That's why they pay you the big bucks.
I think probably you still think Muguruza might have got over the line in three, but if Venus feels that she's there, she gets the first set at that point, well, I think she might have got home.
It would have changed it. It would certainly have changed
that's
it.
That's a margin. I think about small margins.
It was certainly the difference between it being a classic and actually, in the end, a bit of a disappointment, just because of the way it went.
It was a classic set, wasn't it?
Yes.
But not a classic match, as evidenced by the 6-love second set scoreline. But it was a classic set. It's just that obviously took everything Venus Williams had to give today.
Slightly a bit of a shame that it wasn't the other way around, i.e. 6-love first set and an extraordinary 7-5 second set that everybody comes away from remembering. Because, you know, it did feel just a bit of a deflation at the end, I think, for most people. Except anybody who cares about Garbiñe Muguruza, because I thought her reaction at the end was lovely. It was great to see how much it meant to her, and she's been pretty tortured over the last year, I think, since winning that French Open, and it all came spilling out there, just how joyful she felt.
Tortured until very recently. This is a woman that lost love and won to Barbora Strizova the week before Wimbledon in Eastbourne. She's a good player, Barbora Strizova, but love and won, and then goes on to win the Wimbledon title.
That was actually the first question in the press conference. Can you explain the dichotomy between those results? And she basically said, well, it's about motivation, isn't it?
She admitted that, did she? It's pure and simple motivation.
Yeah, I mean, I think like Kvitova, she admits that she's not somebody who's going to be on it every week of the season. Obviously, we didn't have a chance. It's one of those situations when somebody's won a slam, the questions come in all directions, so you don't have a chance to develop a single theme. But that was certainly what she said. Then I asked her about the fact that in the last 4 years, she's had one great slam, each year. I mean, not that she's won four slams, but every year she's had one outstanding slam. What's happening at the other ones? And she said, well, it has to come together for me. You know, I have to be pain-free. I've got to have rhythm. I've got to have confidence. And that just, you know, it doesn't happen every time. That's what happened with Conchita Martinez coaching her this time, and Sam Simic talking on the phone every day from wherever he is, and it just seemed to click.
I'm getting the sense then that you didn't leave that press conference with the impression that anything's necessarily going to change for Muguruza. She's still going to be a very patchy player with the potential to win the odd Grand Slam here and there, maybe one per season.
I mean, there was nothing in what she said that suggests that. I mean, but then at the same time, you look at her when she's playing the way she did in the first set, and you think she's got the capability to be a serious tour dominant woman and to bring the tennis tour on a little bit. And in some ways, I think it was good for the tour that she won today, because Venus would have been a fantastic fairy tale story, but there is a sense, actually, Garbina said in her press conference, somebody said, you beat the sentimental favourite. And she went, yes, but we want new names, new faces, so come on.
Yeah, well, I know what Simon's saying there. I mean, I interviewed Muguruza at the end of last year, and she said exactly that I am probably never going to be a consistent player. That's not me, but I believe I can beat everybody.
The Stan Wawrinka of the WTA.
Yes. Perfect comparison.
I went to Venus Williams' press conference, and given the lopsided nature of the scoreline, there were lots of questions focusing on her Sjögren syndrome, of which one symptom is fatigue. And she was repeatedly asked whether the Sjögren's was a factor in the second set, and she just kept on repeating the mantra that Garbina played very well today. She wasn't going to be drawn on that at all. She wasn't going to be drawn on anything at all in that press conference, was she, Simon? She was very polite. Simon thinks she wasn't polite. Certainly the transcript will read politely, I think. She was polite up to the point that she was asked her feelings. She was asked to sort of pay tribute to Roger Federer, and she didn't take to that particularly well, did she?
I was just about to say, it is one of the symptoms of Sjögren syndrome that you treat people asking you questions as if they're not really worthy of being in the same room as you, which is exactly what she did throughout that whole press conference. You know, I said the other day, I don't find her easy to deal with. She's one of the most difficult women or difficult players in the business. Anyone behind the scenes will tell you that.
There were some dodgy questions in that press conference, though, wouldn't you say?
I think people were getting desperate, trying to find something for her that she had said to write about. And yes, the questions got more and more weird and wonderful, because she was giving nothing. She was a wall. And, you know, I'm fed up with it. I really am.
Tell you what, Simon, if I just lost a Grand Slam final, I'm not sure I'd be too friendly. Would you?
Well, but she does it every round.
She's been doing it in her... I'm not saying it's not frustrating, it is. She's been doing it for 20 years. She, to me, is a sense of someone that's just over it, you know? She's got something left to give on the tennis court, but she hasn't got the energy to give it
elsewhere. Well, she took the fine,
didn't
she? She took the fine in the previous round because she didn't want to do the TV interview with the BBC, which, right, her prerogative, she got the fine. And so I think you're right. I think she...
She's taken a number of fines over the last
few
years.
To some degree, I have to say, it has been a long career, and she probably is bored of that element of it. Not everybody can be Roger Federer or Flowery, and isn't it all lovely?
She was asked, what was the phrasing of the question the chap asked from the back about? It was something along the lines of, you've got no right to be doing what you're doing, or you're not supposed to be doing what you're doing. And he meant in the context of history, and she said, I think I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And
it's fun being a journalist sometimes.
He asked, what do you think you've got in you that is enabling you to do what you're doing age 37? And she just stared him straight in the face and said, good tennis.
Good luck writing that up, Simon.
Well, unfortunately, I'm not on the Venus Williams piece. And through no decision of mine, I've been told to focus on Muguruza and Jim White's writing about Venus. So
did she give a good press conference? Was she open and give? Because I find her very hit and miss. I feel like she has got a lot to give and can be pretty compelling, but she chooses when to be that Garbina in press conferences. So was that the Garbina you got today?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but again, as David says,
She just won the title.
So you wouldn't expect Muguruza to be difficult. And she was articulate. She was engaging. She was smiling and happy, as anyone would be in that situation. The one thing I didn't get to ask her is whether Wimbledon felt any better or bigger than the French Open. How the two compared. Maybe there'll be another chance to speak to her before the end of the day. So we'll go back in and maybe put that one.
The reaction was bigger and more emotional than when she won the French. I know that's often the case when people win their first Slam titles. It's all a bit overwhelming and kind of a bit too much to process in the moment. So that could account for it. But it was a very, very emotional celebration from Muguruza.
Well, don't forget, she was in the final 2 years ago as well. She got close. She tasted it. She didn't get there. And there's something very special, I think. I'm not saying the French Open isn't special, but I think that this maybe did mean even more to her. It was centre court at Wimbledon. She's picking up the place.
She's only the second Spanish woman to win Wimbledon. The other is Conchita Martinez, who has been in her box, in her corner throughout the tournament. Sam Sumic hasn't. What do we think about that? Do you think the Sumic relationship can withstand the fact that she's done this without him here?
The press conference, she was very specific in trying to knock down any concern on that front. That doesn't mean that it won't be an issue, but it means that it's certainly in public she doesn't want to make it an issue at this stage, because she was saying, I play the same way no matter who is in my box. I'm the same player. I spoke to him every day. We did a lot of good work coming up. So she was specifically going out of her way to put down any suggestion that, oh, you might want to go all the way Conchita from here on in.
Whilst also presumably paying a lot of credit to Conchita. Or not, perhaps.
She wasn't at all, belittling about it. But I don't think that. I think she just said, she'd enjoyed having her around, and she particularly brought up the parallels more than anything. That was what she mainly said about Conchita. Because there's this nice thing that Navratilova was 37 when Conchita beat her.
94.
So there's a couple of nice historical parallels. So she spoke about how she kind of enjoyed that.
Speaking of the word presumably, that was the last question put to Venus in the press conference. Presumably you'll be back next year. And she just replied, presumably.
Brilliant. I have to say, if I were Garbiñe Muguruza, I would be making a serious offer to Conchita Martinez to stick around.
She's got a lot on her plate,
time,
though, hasn't she? Fed Cup and Davis Cup captain.
I understand. I'm just saying, if I was Garbiñe Muguruza, that looks like a partnership that works. Maybe they could combine coaching duties with Sam Sumic as well. I don't know. But look, she looked very, very centred all fortnight long, very balanced, very content. And boy, did she play well.
She's got an incredibly watchable style of tennis, hasn't she? It's an all-court game, it's an all-surface game, not afraid to come to the net, versatile, adaptable. One of the talking points we were talking about yesterday, she really does have it all. And it kind of makes her more compelling that she can't do it week in, week out, because she looks like a sort of manufactured tennis player, doesn't she? She has everything. She's the perfect physique. If she had perfect motivation as well, it would be all just too untouchable and pristine.
And
but
wishing
it makes her a more compelling individual.
Bring up yet again that I said she'd be the world number one at the end of the year, at the start of the year, which she might.
She's up to number five.
Yeah, without wishing to bring that up, I just have. I do feel that that's a really engaging story point for the future. This woman should be dominating tennis.
Yeah, I agree. But
why isn't she? She needs to sort that out.
It's totally case unproven, isn't it? Because of the manner in which she's done it from a base of nothing. So we've got no idea, have we? Whether your prediction is going to be right or whether
she's
going to be back
right
in the field.
She's won four titles in her life and two of them are Grand Slams. I mean, only Yelena Ostapenko has a better record
she's
than
had
that.
She's had a terrible run after each of the three Slam finals she's been in. Well, two of them, the two she's been in so far. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, we
this
just
one
don't know what's going to happen. It's compelling. It's compelling. Simon's got to go and write his piece about Garbiñe Muguruza.
Has he given us his predictions for the men's final yet?
No. Come back, Simon, quickly. One word and set number.
Federer in three.
Federer in three?
There we
Freaky
go. Simon Briggs, he's off.
And he wafts off. He delivers that bombshell. And he saunters into the press room. That was a saunter, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I thought he'd be going a bit quicker with the deadline looming.
Do we have anything else to say about the women's final, or is that our perfect segue into doing a bit of a preview of tomorrow?
I think it is.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So Simon says Federer in three. I think Federer, I'm not sure about three. Look, if Federer is just completely on it and plays his best, it absolutely could be three. I heard you on Five Live earlier giving a bit of a preview of it with Pat Cash, and you said it has all the ingredients to be a sensational match, and the same question was put to Pat and he said, yeah, it's got the ingredients, but doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be.
Do you know the other factor that I didn't really consider until listening to Pat was physicality? And Cilic has played five sets against Gilles Muller. You know, he has got 5 hours more in his legs than Roger Federer this fortnight.
They were quite an economical five sets, though.
Yeah, but we don't know whether he's fatigued or not. And could that be a factor? If Federer comes out of the blocks quickly, could he make him a step slow? I mean, I think he's probably capable of making anybody look a step slow if he's really on his game. That is something I hope doesn't become a factor, the physical fitness of either player, of course. If they're both fully fit, and if Cilic doesn't freeze, and I realise that I'm going on the ifs quite a lot here, it could be a classic. That is what I would expect it to be, as long as Cilic is fit and doesn't freeze.
The other big factor that Pat Cash explained very well was that why the nerves are so important and why it's so important that Cilic doesn't experience them to too great an extent tomorrow. And it's that he can't afford the start is so important against Roger Federer because of that sense of spiralling that we discussed the other day. I think that was after his quarterfinal against Milos Raonic. The speed with which he plays, you know, he's predatory in the way that, you know, you give him an inch and he takes a mile and suddenly he's on top of you and it's all getting away from you so quickly. He can't afford a slow start. So if he's got any doubts in his mind, they will just extrapolate.
2 years ago he played Murray and Murray was serving out of his mind in order to just hold onto a serve after six deuces, and then 48 seconds later he's serving again. That's what Federer does to you. He rips through his own service games and keeps on putting that pressure on. The only thing is, I would say about Cilic, is his serve has quite possibly been the best on tour this year in terms of just reliability. If he gets on a roll, he's very hard to break.
Just very good. This is completely sort of not related to the final at all, but it was something that I noticed first at Queen's and have noticed this tournament as well, and Annabelle Croft in particular picked up on it in Five Live semi-final commentary against Querrey. He's developed a lot of ticks on his serve, hasn't he? It's still
Mary
as
Cilic.
Effective as if not more effective a serve, but he's got a lot of ticks on there. The ball bouncing is a lot more than it ever was before. He's got a weird sort of leg wobble going on. He takes his time to toss that ball in the air. I mean, apropos nothing, just thought
quite interesting. I hadn't noticed that.
For somebody who's so supreme in that department and who makes serving look so effortless, the way he steps up to the line and all the things he goes through makes it look like something that is quite effortful, and then the service motion happens and it's just glorious.
And you know, I'd never thought of Marin Cilic as one of the game's big servers. He's not Roddick, he's not Raonic, but he's developed that, and I think Goran Ivanišević has a lot to do with that from 3 years ago, just by liberating his mind, just by saying to him, just hit the thing, stop thinking about it, stop worrying where you're putting it, just play big man's
Goran's
tennis.
Goran's not a big fan of thinking, is
no,
he?
No, he doesn't want him to.
He's shortened the ball toss as well, the same as he did with Burdick, which sounds so simple, but it's a huge thing, because it changes your whole timing of the service motion.
Yeah, well, and it also takes the wind away. That's the other thing, and that's why Goran is such a big proponent of it. He had a low ball toss as well. I think Federer will win. I think it could be in three or five. I mean, it's just, it depends.
Hang on. No.
All the factors.
No. I know there are factors. We all know there are factors. We've discussed the factors. You've got to make a prediction now.
I think Roger Federer will win.
In how many sets?
Four.
That's what I think as well. I think Roger Federer in four. I think he will challenge Cilic. I don't think he'll be cowed by the occasion enough that it'll be a damp squib, but I do think Roger Federer is just going to be too good.
Have we talked about how I picked that they would reach the final?
No, but we seem to be now.
Well, good, isn't it?
I have to say, it is quite good.
Excellent. Right, that's it's, that then.
This is pretty good. We haven't yet totted up the totals for general predictions. Nobody, once again, I don't think, has completely covered themselves in glory.
Well, I've just completely 100% got the singles final right.
Yeah, the women's didn't go brilliantly, though, did it? Anyway, there's an we've got an algorithm now for the calculations.
Oh, yes, we have. Yeah, thanks to Nerdy Math.
We have a spreadsheet and an algorithm, and we'll let the maths do the talking
the
at the end of the tournament. It's going to be an interesting one.
We just hand it over to Nerdy Math and Student Math, and so you two get on with it, because I haven't
got
a clue.
Yeah, and somehow we don't come out top.
Yeah. It's funny that, isn't it?
Yeah, one of them works for us and the other one is related to me. Anyway, so Simon Briggs, Federer in three, me, Federer in four, you, Federer in four. Is there anyone saying Cilic?
I think Goran is desperate to say Cilic. I think he's sort of. I haven't heard the official prediction. I might see if I can find out. But I spoke to Mario Ancic earlier. I did an interview with him, and he definitely feels that Cilic has a game that can hurt Federer. And it's, you know, I'd forgotten that actually his last two matches that they played against each other was a Cilic thrashing of Federer at the US Open, and then two sets to love up against Federer on this very court, having match points and losing in five. So again, if Cilic can handle the situation and if he's fully fit, he can win. He can win.
I agree, he can win. I'm just not predicting that he will.
No, same here. I hate this. We're agreeing. Ugh.
Right,
anyway,
then. It's the one remaining singles match of Wimbledon 2017.
Yes.
There is a men's doubles final taking place as we speak. There's a women's doubles final scheduled to take place after that. We'll bring you the results of those tomorrow. The mixed doubles final takes place after the men's singles final tomorrow. It features two Brits against one another, Heather Watson and Henry Kontinen, the defending champions, of course, taking on Jamie Murray and Martina Hingis.
Ooh, what are the crowd going to do? Hey?
I don't know.
It's just going to be one massive loving, isn't it?
Everyone's going to have had so much PIMS by that point. I think it's just going to be an enjoyable time.
You're not even going to be here.
No, I'm at a Wimbledon barbecue tomorrow.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
So, no podcast then?
I think we should probably find a way to bring the people a Wimbledon final, men's finals day.
You can listen
podcast.
To me though,
so
folks.
Don't worry, folks. Like. David will be commentating on the final for BBC Radio. The final will be available live on Eurosport. There'll also be a highlight show going out at 10 PM. It's also on the BBC. But I suggest if you want to watch telly coverage, go for Eurosport. If you want radio coverage, go for David Law.
I suggest turning your sound down on your telly.
Yeah.
Listening to me.
Everyone's a winner then.
Yeah. Just got to sync them up.
Everyone's a winner. So, it's the big one.
It's exciting, isn't it?
We've had our say. We'll be back tomorrow. Well, Dave, I might be back tomorrow. Depends if I'm allowed on in absentia. We'll see. This has been the second to last daily tennis podcast.
Leave us a review.
2017. Leave us a review.
Hey, I saw two people, listeners today, Catherine. One of them in a tennis podcast official T-shirt. Charlie the Ferret's mum, one of our tennis podcast pets owners, was here wearing her tennis podcast T-shirt.
And we've seen a few people post pictures on social media as well. I find it very weird. Yeah. I mean, wonderful and heartwarming, but I find it very weird. I still find it a bit weird that people listen. So to see people wearing merch is mind-blowing.
I think they're all lying. They don't listen to this.
So one more to go. We've been the Tennis Podcast for a 13th time during Wimbledon 2017, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. And we'll be back tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.